Will you pray with me, please? O Spirit, be in the words that are spoken, and be in our hearing, that we may be renewed, that we may be changed, that we may be empowered to live in your way. Amen. Years ago, I was in a vocational quandary. A church had started talking to me, asking me to come and be their pastor. The problem was I was already a pastor where I was living, and so it meant leaving, and I felt the pull of a new place, and I felt the pull of staying where I already was. And I was torn. I sought out a good friend to talk it through. And he asked me a question I was unprepared for. He said, "What is the mission of your life?" And he invited me to consider the question, the issue I had, in light of the question, "What is my life's mission?" Well, I didn't much care for that. I couldn't figure that out. I took some days. I came up with a statement that I thought might say what my life's mission was, but it was stupid enough I'm not about to tell you what it was. And frankly, I don't think it was all that helpful. But it got me thinking. Is there a mission to a human life? To my life? Well, the word mission, frankly, sounds too narrow to me and maybe presumptuous. But what if I change the word just a little to the word purpose? Does a human life have a particular purpose? And if so, would that be something we select from a menu of choices? Or does God lay a particular purpose on us and equip us for it and call us to it? Wouldn't it be enough to make it more general, as in, our purpose is to be a good human being? In my case, to be a good dad, be a good husband, a good pastor, a good friend, to live in the world as somebody who is honest, kind, loving, and who makes a difference for good. Surely that is the purpose of us all. Maybe so. But is there more to be discerned about your purpose or mine? So, one morning long ago, in a worship service, a man announced to the congregation the purpose of his life. The man was about 30 years old, and he had known these people all his life, and they knew him, Jesus, son of Joseph. Lately, he'd been traveling some. And while he was away, some rumors started circulating that he was out there preaching from town to town and that he was good. It was powerful. Some who heard him were being changed. Some were even being healed of illnesses and afflictions. Well, those were the rumors, but surely they were exaggerated. I mean, he lived just down the street. He's been one of the kids in town. They saw him with his skinned knees running around with the rest of the kids. Now he had been a laborer for some years, did carpentry around town. Surely there was something special about him. But the rumors, well, Anyway, he's back. And here he is at the synagogue, right where he's been almost every Sabbath of his life. And now the leader of the service that morning smiles at him and invites him to come do the reading for the day. He comes up, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is handed to him. He unrolls the scroll to the passage he wants and begins to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He gave back the scroll. The eyes of everybody there were fixed on him, and then he told them all, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Which is to say, in part, this is what I'm going to be doing with my life. The vision from scripture about taking good news to poor people, telling captives they're free, opening the eyes of the blind and liberating people who are oppressed, that's what God calls me to do and empowers me to do. That is my purpose. Now, let's face it, his life and our lives are not the same at all. He is the Messiah, for crying out loud. Everything about him is for this colossal, focused purpose. The story is about him. It's not about you. It's not about me, except that it is about us. If we mean to be his in any meaningful way, if we say we are followers of Jesus, then our mission is a participation in his mission, which he has just described. So our purpose, too, is liberation for the oppressed, opening blind eyes, releasing captives, bearing the best of news to the poor. It's all about compassion and inclusion and dignity and healing and empowerment, people finding freedom and people getting justice. This is relational stuff. It is personal, spiritual stuff. It is also public and social and political stuff. How could it not be when the purpose stated by Jesus is concerning the poor and the oppressed? This is Christ's calling to let our lives truly be about love. And as Cornel West has said, justice is what love looks like in public. And so, yes, if Christians want to have a conversation about whether or not our lives have a purpose beyond being good people, we can't get around this, that Jesus said his mandate is for the poor, the captives, the impaired, the oppressed, and our mission is a participation in his. Participation in his purpose, of course, is not the same as doing it all or trying to achieve his purpose in the very ways that he did. What it does mean is that no matter what any of us perceives our life purpose to be, It has to include somehow making the world better, especially for those who are in great need. And if it's to be done in the spirit of Christ, who happens to be the Lord of joy, then the particular shape of your purpose will fit you well and will give you joy. Frederick Buechner said this about discerning what work is ours to do, which refers not just to career, but to a larger sense of our purpose in life. He says, "The kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need to do, and B, that the world needs doing. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The good news, too, is that we've got freedom in discerning and deciding what the calling on our lives is going to look like. We live in the privilege of partnership with God in pursuing a purpose for our living. We are not without choices. And we are free as time goes on to make changes to arrive at a new sense of purpose. You can be really old and discover a new sense of purpose this very day. Thomas Merton said this: "Each one of us has some kind of vocation to fulfill our destiny, to be what God wants us to be. But we must not imagine that we only discover that destiny by a game of hide and seek with divine providence. Our vocation is not a riddle that we must solve in one guess. Our destiny is the work of two wills, God's will and our own. It's not an unchangeable fate forced upon us. Our vocation is the interaction of two freedoms, two loves." So, friends, with all my heart, I believe there is a purpose for my life. And I believe there is a purpose for yours. That it is fluid, creative, perfectly suited for your gifts and your passions, and always a participation in the liberating, world-changing purpose of Christ. The only remaining question is, how do any of us find the power to fulfill our purpose and to remain faithful to it as our lives go by? Because the truth is, as you very well know, nobody says that living our purpose is going to be easy. All around us and also within us, there is a great deal that may oppose and resist the liberating purpose of Christ in us and through us. We grow tired, discouraged, frustrated, confused. It is so easy to slip away into numbness, indifference, a sense of being a failure. How do we escape that and keep the fire in our bones, our passion, our discipline for fleshing out what we come to believe is the purpose for our being here? I cannot speak for you, but I have largely found the source in community, in you. and people like you. The community of Christ, my sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, who are for me the church. Isn't that where he said it? Said what his purpose was in a congregation at worship, just as we are at worship this morning, where he speaks to us together now. And you recall that he was reading from the community's book, the Bible. He was reading stirring visionary words that were already theirs. Just as he calls us together from our book, this community's book today. Listen, I cannot fulfill the purpose of my life on my own. Neither can you. We need each other. We need the Christ who meets us in each other to encourage, to cheer, to listen, to help, to remind and inspire and partner together and pick up when we've fallen. William James said, "The only happy people I ever knew were those who found a cause to serve that was greater than themselves." But if it's a cause greater than myself, I cannot serve it by myself. And the power to live in your purpose is the power to be found in the beloved community and in the Christ who meets us powerfully in each other. It was in the community that day that he stood, and in the river of memories of his community, as he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And when you and I are joined together in common purpose here, or when we are together in our friendships out there, we may hear that word as well and find it's our word also to say. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. You know you're here to change the world, don't you? Rise to your calling. Be gratefully joined to the sisters and brothers who are called with you, each to a different part, but all of us one. And here is Jesus among us still, perhaps adding the word that he added that day when he had finished reading the word and closed the book. His first word was, "Today. Today, it's fulfilled. So let's go on. And let it be today that we lay claim to our purpose, each of us, and all of us together. Amen."